Merry Christmas. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we certainly give you thanks for this day. And what an awesome opportunity to be here in your presence today, celebrating the birth of your son, Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts now, that you would clear our minds. Lord, there's, I know, a lot of things running through them right now, what we're going to do the rest of the day, where we're going to be, how we're going to get there, what we're going to play with. Lord, I ask that you would just simply block those distractions out now so that we can spend a few moments focusing on your word. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your son, the very first Christmas. And Lord, that gift that we now celebrate, that gift that we know is a part of our lives. We just ask a special blessing on each one here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am super glad to see all of you here with us this morning. You never know what's going to happen on Christmas Day. And to be honest with you, I mean, there are probably a lot of places you could be this morning. There's a lot of things that you could be doing this morning. But what a novel idea that you showed up here with your family to go to church on Christmas Day. I mean, one of the most important days in Christian history and Christianity to celebrate the birth of our Savior. You know, sometimes it blows my mind that some churches and church bodies, they alter their Christmas schedule because it's Christmas. And it just blows my mind that you would cut events out, that you would change your schedule because we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus. I'm thankful that our church body and our particular church doesn't do that. That we find it important to celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. Thank you for being here. This whole Advent season, we've been looking at Christmas, and I've talked about Christmas Day being a noun. We've talked about how Christmas Day is a special day, but there's more to being a Christian than just celebrating Christmas on that day. But it's to celebrate Christmas the whole year around. And we've looked at Christmas as an adjective, how it modifies and describes other nouns. For instance, last week we looked at Christmas tree. Now, if I just said tree, we would start thinking of all different kinds of trees that we might have in our yard. Pear tree, peach tree, pecan tree, oak tree, cottonwood tree. Whatever your favorite tree is, that may be the tree that comes to mind when someone just says tree. But when we add Christmas to the front of it, it changes the whole meaning of the tree, right? Because we get in our mind a Christmas tree. Now, I know that there's various kinds of Christmas trees, but we would normally think of some sort of evergreen tree. And that tree, as we looked at last week, reminds us of eternal life. An evergreen tree stays green all year around, even when it's cold, when it's dark, when it's rainy, when no matter what the situation is during the winter, that tree stays green. And it's a reminder for us of the eternal life that we have in Jesus. No matter the darkness, no matter the dreariness of our life at times, the Christmas tree reminds us of eternal life we have forever with Jesus. Today we're going to look at Christmas presents. I already asked the kids, so I've got an idea, but how many of you have opened your Christmas presents already? Raise your hand. How many of you still have some to go? Raise your hand. Yeah. And so when we say Christmas presents, I mean, it is an exciting time, right? We have gifts that we're going to open. And there's no doubt about it that Christmas presents are a joy. But we have to keep things in perspective when it comes to even Christmas presents, and they should remind us of the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus. I thought about how the kids might say it, and they would probably say the bestest gift ever, right? And it's Jesus, the birth of Jesus coming into the world to give us forgiveness in life. Now, I don't know how many or how each of you celebrate your Christmas. I know we used to, and we still do that. We did that last night. We would go to the Christmas Eve children's program. We would go home, and we would open gifts. And I know when the kids were younger, Stacy would would leave the church. I would kind of hold back and detain our family a little bit to give her some time to put some of the gifts out that were not out yet. I know some of you parents may have stayed up late last night or got up really, really early this morning to beat the kids up, right? And you put some gifts under the tree so that when they get up, the gifts have just appeared. I want to read Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Because this is what happened that very first Christmas. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. Our Savior just appeared. I mean, there were no Christmas sales going on before that first Christmas. There were no people who decorated their houses with lights and yard decorations. In fact, most of the entire world didn't even know. But Jesus simply appeared. He appeared in that manger. He appeared. The Savior of the world appeared into our world. And most of the world didn't even know it. And so if Jesus is the greatest gift ever, if Jesus just appeared into our world to be our Savior, why should we celebrate, and what is there to celebrate? The Titus passage makes it real clear. Verse 5, it says, He saved us. He saved us. I don't know if anyone ever that's been in this room here this morning has ever been saved, where you were really in a life-threatening situation. Or maybe it was even a medical situation where it did not look good at all, but you were saved. And I'm going to say if someone has ever been in that position, they are ever, ever grateful to either the person that did that or the medical technology that we have today to do that. You're grateful for that. But yet, how often are we grateful? I mean, our Savior just appeared into the world to save us, to rescue us. But yet, we take it for granted and don't even sometimes see any use in celebrating Christmas, His birth. We would leave it out sometimes. We make all the commercialism of Christmas more important than the Savior that appeared to save us. He goes on to say, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. How many of you got different sizes of boxes for your gifts this year? Did you get some small ones? Did you get a big one? Yeah, okay. Most people, you know, you get some small boxes, big boxes. I would like for you to imagine for a moment, picture those sizes of those boxes. If you had to put your righteous deeds, your good works into those boxes, which box would you fill? Would it be the small box or the medium size or the gigantic box? And I'm going to say that most of us would have to say it would be pretty small. Because our righteousness, our good deeds are really not that many, especially compared to our sin. But yet Jesus appeared to save us, not because of how good we are or the great things that we've done, but simply because of His mercy. Now, mercy is a word that we use in church, right? We say God's mercy. What does that really mean? I mean, do we really stop and think about what mercy is? I'm going to try to describe it this way. Many of you know I was ranting and raving here about a month ago about a police stop that I had been involved with, right? I got stopped by the local policeman. And I mean, I was furious because they stopped me of all things because I didn't use my turn signal. And I thought, good grief. I was at a stop sign on a side road in Hamilton, Texas. There was no cars behind me. There were none in front of me. I don't know where he was, but he saw me, I guess. But I didn't use my turn signal, and I was furious that I got stopped. But in reality, what did I deserve? I deserved a ticket because I did not obey the law. I did not use my turn signal. As much as I complained about that, I really deserved a ticket. But He gave me a warning. And so what mercy is, it's when we don't get what we deserve. And so as sinners, we deserve punishment for that sin. We really deserve to die. But guess what? We don't get it. We don't get that punishment that we deserve because Jesus came into the world as the greatest present ever to forgive our sins and relieve us from that punishment that we deserve. That's what mercy is. Not getting something that we really deserve to have coming to us. And then it goes on in verse 7, so that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Here's a couple of other words in here that we as Christians use a lot of times. Justified. What does that mean? It means being made right before God. How are we made right before God? By grace. By Christ. Grace. What is grace? I mean, these are some words that we throw around all the time in Christian circles, but do we fully understand the meaning of those? Have you ever been somewhere to eat and you've enjoyed your meal and you get ready to pay and you go to your waitress to pay your bill and they say, "Oh, someone already paid that for you." Has that ever happened? That feels good, doesn't it? Because you were expecting to be out some money, and then all of a sudden you had just a gift given to you. Well, that's what grace is. It's getting something that you don't deserve. It's a blessing. It's a gift to you. And so if we think about it in those terms, grace is we get forgiveness. Even though we don't deserve it. And so if we think about mercy and grace, they kind of flow together, but yet they're different in the sense of, what did I say mercy was? You don't get what you actually deserve, and it's usually in the form of a punishment. Grace is you get something that you don't deserve in the form of a blessing, which is forgiveness and life. And that's what comes to us the very first Christmas, wrapped up in those cloths that was placed in a manger, forgiveness and life, and the freedom from the punishment that we really deserve. And there's one word in here that's used in verse 6, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God didn't spare anything. I mean, he generously poured out, gave his son, gave the greatest present of all through his son Jesus, so that we could have forgiveness, so that we could have life, so that we don't get what we deserve, but we get the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. As we think about Christmas presents, I know I was a little bit of a bah humbug in Bible class and this morning, because, you know, it gets a little bit frustrating of all the commercialism and all of the worldly things that get wrapped up into Christmas, and we've gotten so far away from the real meaning of Christmas. But with that said, as we open our presents, I pray that it's a reminder of the true gift, the real reason that we celebrate Christmas. It's because of the present that God gave us wrapped up in those cloths, that first Christmas, Jesus himself, who just appeared to bring us forgiveness in life. May we always remember to celebrate the real meaning of Christmas. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.